Shocker, how are you?
I'm dynamite, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm great.
How are the boys doing out there?
Hey, they're looking great. They're looking good. Still rolling. No one has the full balaclava on right now, so I'm guessing it's a lot warmer. So that's good news. And it's only supposed to get it warm up for the next few days, so that's good for those guys.
My son played in an outdoor tournament here this last week.
Awesome.
And so last night, yeah, it was great. It was a really nice event. But they were in the final last night, and as I was standing out there in snow pants and a snow jacket or ski jacket and gloves and the earmuffs and the whole bit, I was out there for an hour feeling sorry for myself. And then every time I started to feel cold or want to complain, I thought, yeah, no, I'm not going to complain. I think I've still got it pretty good compared to what those guys are braving out there. So good on the fellas.
I like that you're wearing earmuffs and not a toque.
Well, they're not. Earmuffs are a little bit of a... Okay, hang on a second. I want to back all this up. Like, I'm not talking like the fluffy ones, like the old traditional earmuffs. I'm talking like the cool ones, you know?
Oh,
like,
yes,
the ones
yes. That, like, the cool earmuffs. Yeah, yes,
yeah, the cool yes. Earmuffs. Oh, exactly.
Of course. Well, what was that? What else would there be?
Boy.
Some Oiler news today. Hall out for 4 to 6 weeks now. Fracture above his ankle. It's kind of in his, halfway in his calf, from what I'm told. Also, Ben Scrivens tweaked something. We don't know what, but he's out. So Bachman's called up. Hamilton comes up. But let's talk about the game last night. Like, I would say this. The Oilers, man, they played a much more sound game defensive, maybe the best of the year. And I don't want to take that away, but, man, New Jersey, like I'm telling you, like New Jersey's going to be in the running the next 3 years to be one of the worst teams in the NHL.
14 shots against the Oilers? 14 shots against the Oilers. Like, that's unbelievable that they were only able to generate that. And it's going to be a big slap in the face tonight because the Islanders shoot the puck a lot. The Oilers, I thought it was a good bounce back game, and the skill was there, right? The skill generated a couple goals for them, some nice plays, but I thought that the work ethic was way better. I thought their willingness to dig. I thought that Nugent Hopkins sort of took a little bit of Matt Hendricks, like hard hat attitude, and was, I thought they just worked harder, and that was necessary because after back to back brutal performances, I was kind of wondering, okay, is the other shoe dropping here? Is this going to be start heading back in the other direction? But the effort was there, the defensive play. They played like a team that did not want to go deeper into a hole. And earlier this year, this is a team that would have just fallen deeper in.
Jordan Eberle looks like a renewed player with confidence.
Yeah.
His two passes last night, and probably could have had a third assist on that nifty pass when he sent Purcell in for a breakaway who didn't score in the third period, but... It's funny how different he looks under Todd Nelson, a guy who clearly has his offensive confidence back.
Yeah, and you know what? Eberle's been pretty upfront with the way he feels about things, and they're not. I mean, it's not like anybody's really crapping all over Dallas or anything like that. But if you listen to the way Eberle describes the differences right now, and maybe in the way he feels, I mean, he just talks about being looser and not being afraid to make mistakes. And for a player like Jordan Eberle, so much of where his success comes from confidence and from feeling it. He's more relaxed, and the change has been really, really good for him. And, if you look at the number of guys who have gotten a positive bump from the coaching change, there's some pretty important players in the lineup, right? And that'll bode well for Todd Nelson. Like, Justin Schultz has been better. Yakupov has been better. Jordan Eberle has been better. Well, those are three pretty critical guys to the organization, and they've all been better under Nelson. So when the grand evaluation of Todd Nelson's performance is made, if it continues this way, players are playing well for him, and important players, and that'll be a huge check marks in his in the plus category for him.
Ryan Rashog joins us. When you I want to get to the power play. I know. They scored the power play goal last night. Yakupov, third time's a charm after fanning, then missing the net, and then scoring on the third one. And, of course, people come out, oh, Yakupov's got to get more power play time. He's got to get one-timer set up and all that. And then you go look at the numbers, and you know what? In his rookie year when he was dominant, everybody's like, oh, Ralph Kruger, he only scored three power play goals then. Right.
Yeah.
He's got two this year. He's got the sixth most power play time on the team, and obviously will be in the top five now with Taylor Hall. But I guess I still see more of a player who has to find his way on the power play rather than just saying, okay, he's got one good one-timer every three. Let's feed him the puck all the time.
Yeah, and part of the thing that they have to have with Yakupov on the power play is they need to have somebody else that can transport the puck, right? You want nothing to do with Nail Yakupov taking the puck at the top of his own circles and being the one in charge of getting into the offensive zone. So you need to have him out there with a unit that has like a Nugent Hopkins or even Derek Roy's pretty good at it, right? He can transport the puck. So Nail gets in there and he sets up in that spot and he wants that shot. And that's good. That's fine. You want a guy that's going to think, shoot, 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 right? You like those guys. You like the instinct in them. The problem becomes when it shifts over to the other side, or when you got to go dig in the corner to get it back, or when you got to make a smart play at the line. Those are all the things that Nail needs to improve on so that he's usable more on the power play, right? He needs to be a guy who's reliable at the blue line and will dump it in, or will make a smart move there, or won't turn it over. He needs to be a guy that when it comes over to his side, and now he's in control of it, not just the one with the one-timer, he's willing to make a pass and not just stand there waiting for the return one-timer, but realize, go to the net, go to the net. That's part of what he needs to do too. But when you stand there stubbornly just wanting the puck, and when you're a guy who turns it over, these are all things that have kept him out of more power play time. So you love the shot, you love the instinct, but there's a lot more that goes into getting power play time than just being able to convert a one-timer.
Ryan Rashaga, join us. And I would agree. And the thing is, so if they want Yakupov on the power play, then you basically got to take Taylor Hall, because Nugent Hopkins is your center. Eberle's going to line up on the other side as the right shot, and you need somebody in front of the net, and you need a defenseman. So it's either Hall or Yakupov. I don't see how you can have both in the same power play consistently.
Setup,
do you?
The setup would be Eberle at the point, and then Pouliot in front and Hall down low where Eberle was, right?
Okay, but that then would you're... With Yakupov and then no Nugent, are you saying no defenseman then?
No, sorry. So you would go Eberle at the point, and then Hall is sort of the net front slash other side presence, right? Like yeah, Eberle on the point would be the answer to that, to allow them to have Yakupov, Hall, Eberle, Nugent, Hopkins all on the ice together would be Eberle at the point.
Okay, but then the problem with that is then you have Taylor Hall as your net front presence. Why do you want that?
Yeah. I mean, it's not ideal, but if you're talking about how to make it work, like the thing is if you don't have them out there with Nugent Hopkins or Eberle, then having that one-timer set up there, you don't have your best puck distributors there for him. So, I mean, I don't think you want Taylor Hall off your top unit power play. It's tough. And we saw earlier in the year, Taylor tried to really work on that one-timer and try and be the guy that could unleash from that spot. Mixed results there for Taylor. I think Nail's got a better shot naturally. But I just think if you're going to have Nail there, you need to have the true puck distributors there who can find him.
No, I don't discount that. And he's got to prove, though, that he has a good shot when he hits it. But
yeah.
And that's not a knock at him. I'm just saying it how I see it. He's not an elite finisher yet, right? Like
no.
The best pure finisher on the team is Jordan Eberle. To me, I don't think there's any argument about that. He's the best pure finisher. He's the one guy that you will see, the goalie scores, dances around a defenseman, backhand shelf. Like, he's the best pure goal scorer they have. You can talk potential all we want, but I think the best pure goal scorer they have is Jordan Eberle.
Yeah, and I mean, you would have had a debate when they still had David Perron, but they don't anymore. And so, to me, Eberle is very clearly that guy. But I like Yakupov. I like how quick he can get that shot off, and I like the snapshot way more than the slap shot. The slap shot tends to be a little all over the place. He can miss high easily and not as in control. But that quick snapshot one-timer, I think Nail's got real good control of it, and he can be deadly from there. So it's a good option. But like we talked about, man, you can't just stand there waiting for it. You got to get to the net sometimes. Like when the other guys work something nice on the other side, go be the net front presence. You know, don't be stubborn. Anytime the puck looks like it's heading for the net, they got guys that just fade back into the shadows looking for the one-timer instead of heading to the dirty area where the puck's going to end up. And that's where, to me, Nail could really earn himself some more power play time by getting into those gritty areas and not just looking for that shot all the time.
Ryan Rashog, join us. Shogar, what do you think of recalling Hamilton?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say, right? Like, we don't watch those guys play all the time, so it's not like I can sit here and accurately say, here's how he's playing, and this is why it's a good idea, and this is why it's not. This is what we know about Curtis Hamilton, right? He's on a long list of guys that people outside, or people that criticize this organization, look at and go, what happened to that guy? How did this happen? And another second round bust.
Yeah, but it's Ryan Hamilton. Shugger, it's not Curtis. That's my point. It's Ryan Hamilton, the AHL veteran. If it was Curtis Hamilton, I would see it as a smart move. Ryan Hamilton.
Sorry, man. I read the release quickly, so I did not even realize. I thought for sure it was going to be Curtis Hamilton if they called somebody up.
No,
so when I
Ryan.
Saw Hamilton, it was just looked like it was him.
Yeah.
So Ryan, yeah. Well, I don't know. I'd be looking to give other guys opportunities than a guy like Ryan Hamilton. I mean, I'd be looking at trying to give some other guys a little bit of a sniff. They've given Pack Ryan in a look here. Curtis he's only got 9 goals this season, but I think he's a guy that you're waiting to see if he can at least play at this level at all. I mean, remember when they recalled Tyler Pitlick? He wasn't necessarily the most deserving on his team. He wasn't having a great year in the American Hockey League, and they recalled him. He actually played decent hockey in the NHL.
Yeah,
and I just wonder
because he's a guy, he's part of the future, right?
Yeah, well, that's just it, right? Like he has a chance to be part of the future. Curtis Hamilton is what 23, 24 years old, something like that, and he really hasn't gotten his look yet. So I would rather, with a lost season, than give a guy a look. That's funny. I can't believe I made that mistake. I saw Hamilton and I just assumed.
No, so did I. And then I read it. I was like, Ryan Hamilton. Interesting.
What are they doing?
Just because he's a career minor leaguer. We know what you're getting there. And, you know, I don't think he's ever going to be an NHLer. That's not a knock. That's just how it is. Curtis Hamilton, now that he stayed healthy this year, has shown some signs of improvement. And I thought he would be the guy getting called up. And maybe we'll see him before the end of the season. Ultimately, I'm not sure it really matters at this point. Hamilton likely will play in place of Luke Gazdick in or out. So, you know, I'm not sure it really matters. But Islanders tonight, Shauger, a very good team. The Oilers beat them at home less than a month ago. And you know that the Oilers obviously will have some confidence. But third game in 4 nights, you know, everything points to this being a tough game for the Edmonton Oilers.
Well, I think so. And the Islanders these aren't the Islanders of a couple of years ago, right? Like this team is a very good team. And they're built. They've built themselves through the draft. They've supplemented with some free agency and some trades. I mean, those trades they made to basically give themselves a top pairing on defense right before the season started were just...
Yeah.
I mean, they were risky because a guy like Boychuk's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Who knows if they lose him or not? But that, I mean, what a huge difference on their back end to put a legit, true top pairing defenseman in there. And they're reaping the benefits from that right now. So they're solid on the back end. They've built for the draft. They've got lots of good players that are homegrown talent. They've got one of the best stars in the game, John Tavares. Lots of good young players. And 2 years ago, I wouldn't have thought that they were going to get there, but they've gotten to that point now where Oilers fans are looking at them going, that's the corner that this team should have been able to turn, that they haven't been able to turn yet.
Yeah,
so
you bet.
It's not going to be easy. And they, like I said, I think they're second in the league in shots 4 per game. They love to shoot the puck, and they come at you. So the Oilers are being tough tonight.
Shauger, we'll be watching with interest. Appreciate your time.
Okay, man. Take care.
Ryan Rashog from TSN, the Shauger Report, brought to you by the Golf Den.